Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still talking college football here today on our Friday podcast, and part of this will make it to Sports Talk Mississippi on Thursday as well. Brandon Marcello, national college football reporter for 24/7 Sports, and my friend has joined. There's no need for this. All right, this is my podcast. I get over on my podcast. All right, you don't get to big time me on this show. You can do it elsewhere. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Randy. Hey, Dad.
Why? I don't know what's happening here. All right, let's talk some football. Outside of the SEC, Brandon, to you, who's the most interesting team in college football this year?
Man, I got several I got my eyes on, but maybe Ohio State.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're loaded up and they're locked and loaded to win a national championship this year. You know, they just absolutely killed it in the transfer portal. I mean, you got Chip Kelly, a head coach, as your offensive coordinator now. You're coming off of getting beaten down by Michigan the last couple of years, and you got to show something this year. And not only do you need to beat Michigan, but you need to win the Big Ten, and you need to get to the college football playoff and make noise in the playoff to keep that fan base happy right now. Not a lot of fan bases could say that right now. I would say that maybe if Nick Saban had stuck around Alabama being a similar boat, because not to say the fans were restless, but they wanted to get back in the playoff and actually get in the national championship game and win it after 2020. It's been a bit of a streak there, but I mean, Ohio State by far, that program's got the most pressure on it going into this year, and it's going to be fascinating to watch how they deal with it.
And then the other side of that, and the team you just mentioned, Michigan, I look at their schedule. I want you to convince me they're not an 8-4 team this year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at their schedule, and it's kind of difficult for me to argue more than 9 wins or something like that for them, considering what they've got coming back, everything they've lost. I mean, I like Sharon Moore, the hire there of bringing him up. It just made sense. But the idea behind that was we're going to hire him to keep that staff around. They didn't keep the staff around. Practically everybody left still or got fired with all the controversy that was going on. I think they went through, what, like 2 or 3 different linebackers coaches since the beginning of last season. You bring in a coach and have to get rid of him for off-the-field stuff. So, you know, I it's hard for me not to see that program not just taking a step back this year after last year, but like a step and a half, maybe 2 steps back. And that's without looking at the schedule. I just lose way too much.
They have Ohio State, obviously. They have Oregon this year. They have to go to Washington. I don't know what Washington's going to be, but it's all right. Yeah. They have Texas coming to Big House in week 2. I mean, it's a very tough schedule, in my opinion, for them.
And you know, we talk about interesting teams. The other one that really interests me is Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are stacked. They are absolutely stacked. And especially in the trenches. And, I mean, listen, you lose Bo Nix at quarterback. You replace a 15,000-yard passer with another 15,000-yard passer in Dillon Gabriel. Like, that's never freaking happened before. But thanks to the portal, you can do that now. And, that I wouldn't be shocked if Oregon wins the Big Ten this year and just pisses everybody off in the Big Ten. I mean, this is the year for like Penn State to maybe break through. Finally, we say it every year, it seems like, with them. This seems like the year Ohio State's going to win it all. Boy, Oregon could just walk in there and just upset the apple cart completely and piss everybody off. How great would that be?
I would laugh. I think it'd be pretty funny. We talked on yesterday's Thunder and Lightning podcast about tiers in the SEC, and I have it separated where it's championship contenders and playoff contenders. I have Georgia, Texas at the top, and then Bama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri. Of that group, who's the most likely to miss out?
Missouri, probably. Just because I think the ceiling's much lower for them compared to the other teams there. The schedule's conducive for them to get into the SEC championship game. But I still don't know if they've got the depth to repeat a double-digit win season like they did last year. But they've got that schedule that's really conducive for them this year. I think Tennessee's got the highest ceiling among the like second tier teams you were mentioning there, because I think Nico could absolutely go off this year for them. They added some really good pieces in the portal at receiver that I don't think are getting enough talk. But to me, Mizzou's probably got the lowest floor among all those teams. You know, it's gonna be interesting to watch like how like Ole Miss fans react to this season one way or another. I mean, what if you win 10 games again or win 11, but you're, you know, you don't have a championship ring to show for it in the SEC championship? Or is it just because of this new day that you get into the playoff, and even if you go 0-1 or 1-1 in the playoff, that's good enough nowadays? Yeah. That it probably like, is, because we haven't faced it yet.
It feels like, you know, and you're in college basketball, if you go to the Sweet 16, nobody's upset, right? For the most part. You know, your upper, you know, your UConn or your Kentucky fans might be, but a team, you know, a mid-tier team in that would not be. So I think Ole Miss fans, if they're in the playoff, they'll forgive the lack of an SEC championship.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's the other thing. It's just like when Ole Miss seems to be finally equipped to maybe win an SEC championship for the first time really since the latter years of Eli Manning, I would say. You know, to me, if you're a fan nowadays, the end goal probably isn't winning the SEC championship or Big Ten championship. It's making a run in the playoff, winning a game or two in the playoff and saying, you know what, we didn't win a championship of any sort, but we won two playoff games and we were in the conversation going into January about winning a title on the national stage. I think I'm with you there. It's going to be very much like March Madness from that standpoint. If you make the quarterfinals in the new college football playoff, that's like getting to – not Sweet 16, obviously, you know, but it's like getting to the second weekend in a lot of ways in basketball.
Yeah. Today on the show on Sports Talk Mississippi, we're going to talk about this. And now that I've mentioned it, they won't do it. But there's been so much. You just put an article out about the transfer portal and who are the top guys there. And I feel like we lose sight of the returning players sometimes. Yeah. So don't take the quarterbacks out of it, because I know Beck and Ewers and Dart would be the top guys. Who are the biggest returners in the SEC this year?
God, you just said take out the top guys, but name me the top guys.
Yeah. I mean, but the quarterback is too easy. Too easy. I'll make you work, Brandon.
Ah, it's not fair. But he's a transfer. Now I'm sitting here thinking, and I thought of a guy, Isaiah Bond, but he's a transfer.
Transfer
Alabama, right? To Texas.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
It's just, and here's the thing. There's obvious guys out there I could probably mention.
Like, is Harold Perkins that guy? I don't know.
Well, let's see if they play him out of position again.
Yeah.
At LSU, which seems to be the thing they're going to do again for Brian Kelly. And I'm not a coach, but whatever. It just seems strange there doing that. Man, that's a good question, because you just like took the good players out of the conversation. The great players.
Maybe I gave you a story idea here.
Yeah, maybe so. You know what? You're smart. You're smart, Ryan. Hey, Dad.
I try to be. You know, like my fourth favorite Brandon. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Hey, funny story about that. No one cares about this. My boss sent me a link this morning, and he mentioned that. I guess there's a page of you whenever you search Brandon Marcello on Google, because he was looking for some story of mine, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he was searching my name. But anyway, he sent me a screenshot. He goes, I can't stop laughing at this. And it was like the bio page for Brandon Marcello on Google or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And it's a picture of someone else, like front and center, like this huge thing. But it's a bald guy sitting there like this. Not me.
Hold on. So if I just click Google Brandon Marcello. That is definitely not you.
Is it? Okay. Well,
I'm going to find out who this person is. Hold on.
Now,
Brandon Marcello, PhD. Definitely not you.
That's probably, you know who that is? Because I've talked to the guy before. Remember the early days of Twitter when everybody's trying to get their name on Twitter?
Yeah.
Well, he was trying to get B. Marcello.
He's B. Marcello 13 now.
And he couldn't get it. And he reached out to me and was like, man, you got the name I wanted. But he was, I know he was like strength and conditioning or strength coach for Stanford softball at one point.
Yeah, that's what he exactly what he does. He's also
another bald white guy.
Yeah.
In sports.
Well, congrats.
Which is exactly what we need in sports. More
bald
white guys.
There's another Brian Haydad in sports talk radio.
There's no
He's up in like he was in Philadelphia, and I think he's in Chicago now. I used to get some tweets sometimes about like, I don't agree with what you're saying about the Eagles, and I'm just like, I didn't say anything about the Eagles. Like
why you need to, it's why you need to change your name to Ryan. Hey, Dad.
So there's none of those.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Mississippi State here for a second. We did an interview with you on Sports Talk a couple years ago. We talked about the veer and shoot offense, and you
yes,
it's shrouded in secrecy. This small fraternity of guys. Well, now it's here at Mississippi State. Year one of the veer and shoot offense. What does that look like for Mississippi State?
Approaching 30 points per game after the abysmal, utterly impossibly bad offense that was last
you
season.
Mississippi State. Both said the same thing about that. It's crazy.
Dude, we talked about it on your show last year. Yeah. Like, it was befuddling. Like, how could it be this bad? Why are they changing it up? Why are they not coaching their personnel and scheming to the personnel?
We don't have time for all that.
Yes, but Jeff Lebby coming in with that offense, not to say it's very similar to Mike Leach's offense, but it's more along those lines. I think it's going to be like night and day from last season. People are going to go, oh, yeah, this is what it was supposed to have been like last year. We should be scoring nearly 30 points a game, even against SEC competition. I like Blake Chapin, the quarterback. I thought he got bad rap at times at Baylor, was put in some bad situations there. Yeah, man. And you're right. You know, we talked about that previously, about that the veer and shoot offense, the Art Briles-tree version of it, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah.
It's a very tight circle, and they are very secretive about it. They protect a lot of the stuff they do.
Yeah.
You know, Kendall Briles previously when he was at Arkansas, I had all these other reporters are always like trying to crack, not necessarily the code, but like get into this inner circle of figuring things out. And like not even coaches on the offensive staff fully knew like some of the inner workings of the stuff. It was kind of like, you know, top secret stuff, like
right.
You know, privileged information.
Was it Bud Elliott did a segment on his podcast that you directed me to? And
I think yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's very successful. Maybe that's one of the big reasons why it's successful, because it's been hard for people to crack it and actually understand like some of the stuff they're actually putting into it. But, you know, it's a tried and true system. It's worked everywhere it has been installed. Like, I can't really sit here and think of somewhere where it has struggled even immediately out of the gate. It just works, baby. And, again, I was actually talking to Zach Selman, the Mississippi State AD, last week. I go, from the outside perspective, I'm like, I'm sure you know, but are you ready for this like to be completely night and day offensively?
Mm-hmm.
You know it, right?
He's
like he knows.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach knows.
Yeah.
So and he saw it up close, obviously, previously at OU. And it's, you know, the issue though for Mississippi State this year is just trying to rebuild the depth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that transfer portal piece for every Power Four team. And man, I was actually kind of taken aback by Mississippi State, like some of the spots they just missed on
mm-hmm.
in the portal, trying to build up some of that depth. And not necessarily offensively, but defensively. So that could hurt them. But the thing is, they've got a lot of still pretty good anchor points defensively. Because last year, that was the strength, obviously.
Yeah.
But you just hope they don't like take a couple steps back because they're playing a different style offensively. This is a bowl team in my eyes, Mississippi State. They should get to a bowl.
They should be a 6-win team. I feel like they can get there for sure. You mentioned defense. I remember when Coleman Hutzler was hired, I texted our friend John Talty because, you know, he covered Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what do you know about this guy? And he was just literally like, not much. Like, we don't talk to him much. What do you know about Coleman Hutzler?
I don't know much.
Yeah.
There you go. Next segment. No. You know, I don't. I really don't. And to be quite honest, I did not follow Mississippi State this spring, like as far as what they're doing defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I know coming, you know, bringing in a couple of cornerbacks from Memphis with the defensive coordinator coming down to fill some holes. But to me, this season for Mississippi State is going to be defined what they do offensively.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be historically bad or anything like that defensively.
Right.
They just need to show a spark going the right direction offensively. And that's what's going to bring everything else around, not just the wins and everything on the field this year, but recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get some of that, you know, that juice back on the recruiting trail. And to do
I think Lebby's been very upfront about, you know, you see what's happening at Ole Miss, and they've created this atmosphere, the party and the sip, and it works. Yeah. I went to a game last year, Ole Miss on Arkansas, and I was just like, I was taken aback at how well everything is. There's a lot of synergy, I guess, if we're going to use a corporate word, and State is trying to get there now with that, and Lebby is a big part of that. So we'll see what happens. Brandon, always appreciate your time. Yeah, no BS. We're friends, and I appreciate you coming on. Thank you. Yeah, once again, yeah. Just take the compliment. You know, you're a good reporter,
Hey, when you're in Dallas for SEC Media Days, make sure to contact my assistant before you approach me.
You want me to call John? I got his number too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. We'll take care of that. Brandon Marcello, 24/7 Sports. Thanks, man.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.